Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. We talked a little NFL football yesterday on the pod, talked about some rookie performances. I do have a couple notes to add, Trevor, because I've been able to see some performances, namely that of the one that they call Josh Rosen, the chosen one, as Arizona fans would like to believe. And let me tell you, he wasn't just okay. He was awesome. And that cast let him down in that game. And they might all season, but this kid can ball, man. I feel really good after his first start.
I wonder if they've made the Rosen 1 merch yet. Like Cardinals merch that you can buy like on a shirt.
I'm sure they have. Why do you want one?
I mean, kind of. Well, actually, now that I'm thinking of it, I want the trademark. So if they haven't done this yet, I'm going to get right after this podcast. I'm going to go trademark it, and then I'll sell it to him for $1 million, and then you can find yourself a new co-host.
Wow. That escalated really quickly. Anyway, our QB1 looked good.
Retiring at 27.
Hey, I couldn't even fault you if that happened. Ultimately, if they had not thought of putting the Rosen one on any piece of merchandise still at this point, especially after that game, you would deserve all the riches that would come your way, because I could not believe that they made that kind of a marketing error. But I do think when you look at his performance, if you're an Arizona fan, you got to be thrilled, right? I mean, nothing's going to go your way this season. You're probably picking first overall or high at the very least. So I don't know, man. He looked great. You saw some of the performance, right?
Yeah, I did. I saw some of the highlight throws. I saw especially that one throw that you pointed out on Twitter where he threw, what was it, the tight end? I think he threw the tight end open. I can't remember who it was, but that's just a beautiful throw to the sideline. We hear it all the time. You're thrown to a spot, and that's what the best quarterbacks can do. They can truly throw it to a spot, and they can get their guys open space just by how they throw the ball, where they place the ball. And that was a veteran throw that we saw Rosen make there. And I actually I think you saw this on Twitter. Justin Herbert basically had the same exact throw this
weekend.
Very
similar. Yeah, that was
funny. So, yeah, folks, Justin Herbert's the real deal.
You already know who QB1's going to be.
It probably is. It really is.
We were pretty early deciding Rosen was QB1, I felt like, last year. By January, it was. Usually, I'm a little bit more. It takes a little bit of time. This year's class, it doesn't look like it's going to take very long. Herbert was pretty freaking good against Cal, too.
He's just so consistent, man.
Yeah.
Accuracy. He's so consistent with accuracy. Yeah.
That's what the combination, and even though I know there's some things mentally and under pressure he'll have to work on and get better at, they're not running some cupcake offense. Like, he's not running Jared Stidham's Auburn offense. Like, this is the real deal. There's vertical combinations he's working through and making plays down the field against tight coverage. Like, so I think his tools are borderline elite. I mean, I think they're elite. I think he has elite tools. I'm not saying like extraterrestrial tools like Pat Mahomes or an arm like Matt Stafford or anything, but like, I mean, his arm's pretty freaking good.
It's fine.
He's ridiculously talented. And a good enough athlete. Really checks pretty much all the boxes the NFL cares about, as long as he loves the game. That old shtick that we'll go through, I'm sure, with him at draft season. But there's still that talk, dude, that he might not come out. So
no, he's coming out.
I know. I'd like to say
it's
that
not
too.
A thing. It's not a thing. He's What's coming thing? Out.
No, it's a thing. Oh, it's no, for it's sure not. A thing. His no, brother's going not. To Oregon next year, and they're super
Who cares?
Tight. I'm just saying.
He's.
I
not,
agree with
he's
you.
He's not giving up the number one overall pick.
I
to
agree
go back
with
to
you.
Oregon.
I agree with you, but let's not act like it hasn't happened before. We're quarterbacks where we thought we're going to go super, super high, and ended up not coming out. And Matt Barkley being an example. I know he ended up sucking, but
yeah. When has that ever been a good example?
No, it's not a good example at all. But that's the thing. Like, I literally talked to an agent who told me, yes, it's absolutely true that he is strongly considering going back to school. Education means a lot to him. His degree means a lot to him, and his brothers go in there, and they're super tight, and they really want to play together. And I was like, that doesn't sound like good enough reasons to me. I'm sorry. Like,
well, I mean, like, those are the best reasons, right?
Sure, but then I said to him, I was like, explain this to me. Like, you're passing up the chance to, I mean, he's going to be a top 10 pick. Like, it's going to happen. You're passing up that chance. Yeah, probably top 5 pick. You're right. There's only been 1 year since 2000 where a quarterback wasn't taken in the top 5, at least one. And it's quarterbacks have never been more valuable than they are in 2018, soon to be 2019. So, absolutely, he's going top 5. Like, why would you go back to school? Like, I don't get it. It's millions of dollars you can go back to school after, you know? Like, it's not like you can't finish your degree. And he literally said, he's like, dude, we talked about this with players every single year. It's the same story. Bryce Love, same story. And they said, you're never going to get a better shot. You're coming off 2,000 yards rushing. You're never going to get a better shot to go high in the draft. And he was like, I know, you're right. And they literally said to him, you know, from a business standpoint, this is a dumb decision. And Bryce Love, brilliant kid, said, yes, I just don't care. I want to go back to school. I like being in school. I'm like,
man,
that's what I mean, dude. Like, when I hear those kind of stories, I'm just
whatever, like, their life.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
all
they
gotta
fine.
Do, all we gotta do is put the facts in front of them and be like, hey, you realize this is stupid,
right?
And they go, yeah, I guess. And you go, okay, fine, it's fine. You live your own life.
Thanks for screwing us over as draft analysts without a clear cut QB1 now, ruining our business.
Where do you think Bryce Love would have got drafted last year?
Last year's running back class, third round. This year,
yeah, it was a stacked class. Yeah.
He's for real fast though. For real fast. Like, no joke about that speed. He is fast.
Yeah, but everybody's fast in the NFL.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm crazy about it before, but you know speed sells in the NFL. And so I think there's some allure there, but I still think third round. Yeah. And I think the best case scenario this year is third round. He just doesn't. I mean, and he does some really good things. I think he's going to be a solid player in the NFL, but hurt too often to be a feature guy. Running backs, I mean, the value has never been – you know, let's just talk about it. Like, the value of, I mean, I just watched Philip Lindsay run all over the, I know it's the Chiefs defense, and he was undrafted. I mean, you've got undrafted guys excelling every year at running back.
Yeah, Sean Wilson beat out Ronald Jones for the first 3 weeks.
Right. You know, it's just not worth taking any type of risk with 99% of these dudes. So, you know, my opinion, I think he goes third. You think he goes third this year if he comes out? Best case scenario?
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah,
see
I
him
just
being higher.
You can't pick him higher than the third round.
Small
you
back.
You just can't.
Older, banged up.
I'm doing a write up on him at TDN this week. So I'm kind of like recapping his early production and what his yearly outlook looks like and where his draft stock's kind of sitting right here as opposed to where it might have been last year. And so yeah, I'm gonna do a little recap on that, get some details in it. But yeah, I mean, last year was the year for Bryce, and this year it's like, you know, we watch these college running backs. You kind of got to be averaging like 6-7 yards a carry, right?
Yeah. I think that's at least. I would like to actually do like an actual study on that.
See if there's a threshold or something. Yes. You know, threshold of success.
Right.
Yeah. No, that would be really interesting, or at least like a percentile, maybe like a mock draft.
I tried doing that with sacks 1 year, and it was really kind of eye opening. You know, there are just not many successful NFL players who played on the edge consistently in college and had nine or fewer sacks that went on to be successful in the NFL.
In a career?
Yes, in their career. Like, in their career, or currently anyway in the NFL. I'm not saying like all time. But yeah, there are not many guys who played in college on the edge that had less than nine or fewer sacks, so under 10 sacks in their college career, that went on to be successful in the NFL. And you would think, well, there's not a lot of guys in the NFL that had less than 10 sacks, period, in college. Not necessarily true, but like guys like Cameron Wake, who did, and Clay Matthews, who did, you know, they were obviously not on the edge fold. Both those guys were off ball a lot of the time, and, you know, so was some fluidity. But like Danielle Hunter, he's like one of the only out. I think he had like 2.5 sacks or something in college. It was insane. And then went on to ball, obviously. But a lot of guys that fit that profile didn't end up doing well in the NFL. So,
yeah, and Love. I think Love's averaging like 4.3 yards per carry this year. Like, it's abysmal.
Sure, right. And like, the blocking hasn't been great, but isn't that kind of the point? Like,
right,
Bryce Love's only valuable if your blocking is perfect, basically.
Right, right. So, unless you can spring him,
yep.
What's he doing for you? I mean, like, the kid runs hard.
Sure.
For a little back. But right. like you can't put that little that last prepositional phrase right there for a little back, like that doesn't matter for scouts. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing. It's just a you're little.
Yep.
That's why it's tough, man. Yeah, it's gonna be it tough is. For yep. him.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people always asking us for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't always know who's going to win, but if you think you do, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. We'd only recommend a service to our listeners that's been good to us. That's why we're urging you, make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 free play by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and make the extra money. You play, you win, you get paid. So these college games, Trevor, to me, the performances that really stood out this week were on the defensive side of the ball. Zach Allen from Boston College is a name that we have really not talked about a lot that is very mm-hmm. much on the national radar. He gets mocked in the first round consistently. He is an odd player to evaluate because he is really kind of a, I don't want to say sloppy build, but he's, you know, for an edge guy, he's pretty heavy for an edge guy. So you're like, well, yep. maybe you kick him inside. Unbelievable how he kind of like still dips under guys and rips through on the edge. And he has such strength in his lower half, gets his hips turned to the pocket. It's hard for me to say like how successful he'll be off the edge in the NFL because I don't know if I see great athletic traits. Then you typically need those. But he just seems like a guy who kind of knows what he's doing as a rusher. And I don't know whether first round seems right. I mean, he had 4 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, broke up 2 passes, 8 tackles total, forced a fumble. I mean, the guy, he sacked Temple's quarterback with one arm. He was getting held. He literally just one arm, like, tossed him to the ground. It was a really impressive performance. I need to watch a lot more of Zach Allen because he really opened my eyes in this game.
I watched him. I did a write-up on Wyatt Ray, the other pass right. rusher for Boston College. And so when I was watching Ray, I also got to watch Allen simultaneously. And then I went back and I watched the game before to watch both of them as well. And I'm kind of with you. I don't see first round hype with Allen just because I think there's a lot of limitations there for him. And I certainly wonder with level of competition, he certainly knows what he's doing on the edge, sometimes better than a lot of these other offensive tackles seem to know what they're doing. So I think that plays into his advantage. But where do you draw the line between like being a smart pass rusher in college? Like how well is that going to serve you in the NFL mm-hmm. is kind of my thing.
Yeah, because this kid was like a freshman or a redshirt freshman for Temple.
Yeah, so like Zach Allen will punish you if you don't know what you're doing in college.
Yeah,
I don't know how translatable that is to the NFL. He's a guy who obviously testing is going to mean a lot for because he's probably going to end up with plenty of production to be regarded high. Scouts will likely love him because he seems to really know what he's doing, which means I have to assume he has a high football IQ, even though I've never talked to him. and so if he's athletic enough, it makes sense. But if he's not, then I don't really know what to do with him.
Personally, I'm just excited for the fights or whatever you want to call them, the conversations about whether Zach Allen is an edge or not for the next several months. Like we had with John Allen, remember those? People yes. just fought daily on Twitter. Like, is
where
he
were
an
you
edge
with John
or is
Allen?
An interior defensive lineman? What position?
Yeah.
Interior D line, yeah. He was like 200. Oh, wow, okay. He was like 287 pounds or something.
All right, I agree.
And it's going to be, you know, Allen's a little bit of a different situation because he's 6'5", but he's listed 285. Like, you might play on the edge in some situations, but you're an interior defensive lineman if you're on that size. So then it becomes, you know, it's a lot of the same traits, you know, still burst, but the bend and the flexibility, not as big of an issue with more of a linear path to the quarterback, obviously. So I like that kind of role for him too. You know, how well does he hold up against the run is probably going to be the big thing. You know, are you a sub-package player? Are you an every-down player? The NFL so much is sub-package that I'm not sure how much it even matters anymore. John Allen is having a monster season in Washington, and I think there probably will be some similarities between the two players and how the NFL sees them. So it'll be fun to see. And you're right, testing will be huge for him too. So I'm also really excited for the first J.J. Watt comparison we get, just because they're both white and they play defensive end at large sizes for
him. Inevitable. Very inevitable.
Although their bodies are so different, but I still can't wait for it. How about, okay, say his name for me, polite, Florida.
Oh, Ja'Kai.
Ja'Kai, okay, I was going to say Ja'Kai, I swear. Like, I honestly thought that was it, but I wouldn't want to mess it up, so.
Yeah, Ja'Kai Polite, he's awesome.
Okay, where did this come from? Jabari Zuniga was the one getting the hype. You thought at the beginning of the year, Jabari was going to be better. I've seen only a little bit of both of them. Polite is definitely better, and I know you said that too this season.
So Polite's taken a major step this year, and okay. Polite has been – he has been good every – like, he has gotten better every single year. He came into Florida, and he was really raw his freshman year, but he still got playing time. And every year he has seemed to – those little flash plays have gotten more and more frequent, and then up until this year to where – I mean, the last 2 weeks – he has really come on. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to use his traits well. He has really good traits. I guess that's the starting point that he's starting to show, because he would show a little bit of it in the first 2 years. But again, he didn't know what he was doing so much that you didn't even really see a lot of it. So this year is the first year where you're really seeing Ja'Kai explode off the snap, put his foot in the ground, dip under an offensive tackle, bend around the edge, have that ankle mobility to be able to really cut a corner, get into a quarterback. And the thing with the last 2 years that's even more encouraging, when you see the traits this year, it was his motor last year and the year before that are the reason why he got playing time. Like, there are a couple play, go back the last couple of years and you'll watch him. Like, there's a play in specific that I have in my head where he runs like 40 yards downfield to make a tackle. Wow. Like, behind a running back. And he catches him from behind and makes a tackle.
So because, he's like, an athlete just, with effort.
Yes.
I like that.
Or at least he was. I hope he doesn't get spoiled because his talent is showing.
Sure.
But some fun facts.
He rotates a lot too, right? Like, I noticed against Tennessee.
Yeah, they all rotate a lot. Yeah, it seemed like every facts, other drive. Some fun facts about Ja'Kai Polite. His Twitter handle is @retiremoms.
I saw that.
Because he plays football. To make enough money to retire his mom.
That's awesome.
Because he loves his mom, which is awesome. And then the Gators have this tradition that started with, I think, Dominic Easley. And it's that, like, Chucky doll. Like, think of, like, the John Gruden, like, the Chucky doll.
Yeah.
And he just, like, he would carry this Chucky doll around everywhere. And then it became, like, Florida's best pass rushers would then, like, pass this on throughout the years. Like, Dante Fowler got it after Dom Easley got it. And now Ja'Kai Polite has the Chucky doll. So, like,
now, will he keep it for the full season? Or does, like, if Zuniga has 3 sacks next game, will he give it to him?
I think, like, different guys have, over the last two, like, during McElwain's tenure, it was a little bit different because I saw different players, like, have the Chucky doll. And it wasn't as, like, here, I'm, like, passing this down as, like, the, like, the passing of the torch as it used to be, like, with Easley and I think it was Easley and then Fowler and then Bullard had it. They all had it.
Bullard.
And then now Ja'Kai Polite has it. So
that's fun. And we thought coming into the year, well, we didn't technically think, I guess, but CC Jefferson was the big name coming into the year. Now there's a real chance if Zuniga were to come out, and he might get drafted third out of those guys. Pretty crazy. He's had an okay year, right, CC?
He's super raw.
He just can't rush the
passer. Yeah, CC's not that good.
Yeah, he just – it never really has come together for him. I don't know that I see the athletic traits for him either. Stay in the SEC, Daryl Taylor from Tennessee. Okay, I know you Florida played Tennessee, number 19 for Tennessee. Did you get a load of that guy at all?
No.
Left defensive end. He put some real good rushes on Juwan Taylor over there. Almost got a couple sacks. Came back this week against Georgia. Ring him up. 3 sacks against Georgia's offensive
line. I missed the Tennessee game. I didn't even watch the Tennessee game. So,
dude, he was good. He was good. He beat Nauta for one of the sacks, but it was a great move. Then he went chop rip on Andrew Thomas, I think is their
right tackle's name. Ooh, okay. Yeah, all right.
And then came back with an inside move for sack number 3.
Okay.
It was impressive. And Taylor was the guy that really was my big sleeper coming into the year. Like, I thought if there's one pass rusher nobody is talking about, I mean, nobody was talking about, I really thought he could have a great year. So I'm excited. He's a redshirt junior. He's had some issues at Tennessee. You know, last year started to clean things up. This year, I think it's been on the straight and narrow, basically, and hope he stays that way and keeps progressing. But he might look to make that jump. You know, I mean, this is going to be it for him. You know, I mean, he can graduate. So, yeah, I think that it's a decent chance he comes out for that. I mean, what, you know, it's not like Tennessee is going to be a place you want to go back to next year.
Does that right.
mean, does that mean? Does that mean
right. No, it's not. They around, suck.
But it's going to take like 4 years, right? Like, what's the point if you're Darrell Taylor? And if you're one of the shining stars on that team, you know, I mean, I know those were his first 3 sacks of the season, but he was close against Florida most of the game and obviously not getting a ton of help on that D-line either. So, I mean, I think he's a player definitely to watch out for. I don't know that he has, like, the same flexibility or, like, explosiveness that Polite has. Like, if I were ranking them right now, I'd put Polite higher. But he has good hands, and he definitely has enough. Like, he's a good first step. He has enough of those traits, I think, where he can win. So I'm excited about him to watch kind of his growth this season. And then the other, staying in the SEC again, Josh Allen, the Kentucky edge. He's really made nice strides this year. I was talking with Dane Brugler yep. about him yesterday, and Dane was telling the same thing. He wrote a great article. If you subscribe to The Athletic, go check it out. Dane wrote an article about Josh Allen and how last year versatility was his best strength, which I 100% agree with Dane. He could cover a little bit. He could rush, but he was more of a blitzing type rusher than he was like a polished rusher. And, you know, he could play the run a little bit, you know, with range, but wasn't really good at anything, you know, or great at anything anyway. He was okay at some stuff. Definitely not a great passer. No moves at all. Like, couldn't corner at all. He's getting the cornering down, man. Like, he's starting to get his hips and things turned to the pocket, starting to be able to dip under guys. Still no moves, not really going to beat you with power, gets hung up on blocks too much, but moving in the right direction. The key for Josh Allen is just going to be how he tests, because he looks amazing in pads. Have you seen him?
I have not, like, put him under a microscope. I mean, the only game I saw was Florida, Kentucky.
But you've seen him, like, in pads, right? Like, you know what he looks like. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so he looks great in pads, right? The NFL's going to love – they always love those types of guys. He and DeAndre Walker, another edge who's on the rise, to be honest, they're both my, like, looks good in pads, so will for sure rise up draft boards. You know, Lorenzo Carter syndrome, that type of thing, you know? Where, like, Lorenzo mm-hmm. Carter didn't do hardly anything on tape, but he tested great, and he looked – I mean, Lorenzo Carter looked amazing in pads. He was, like, 6'6". 250 and absolutely yoked. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think
body both beautiful those guys, dudes, right, bodybuilders.
You got it. Yeah.
Can we wrap it up with some Ohio State, Penn State? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Do you want give? I'm going to give you the floor because I right. know you got a lot.
James
to say.
Franklin's a coward. All right.
Could not agree more.
He's not a draft prospect, but I'm going to evaluate him anyways. How do you call for a run up the middle on 4th and 5 with the game on the line? Not after one timeout, John.
Not even
not after 2 timeouts. Yeah,
tell the people.
After 3, you call an RPO, which is basically just a handoff up the middle, when Ohio State stacked the box with like 8 dudes.
Ohio State ran like twist like right into it, I think. I don't think it was an RPO. I don't know. I only saw it once. Honestly, and then I just went.
I don't even know if it was an RPO. I just know it was a shotgun handoff. So I didn't know if it was like I can't remember.
I think it was just a straight. I think it was just a straight inside zone. I think it was just. I mean, he said after the game, you know, give him credit. He said he shouldn't have called it. But like the thing that really blows my mind.
I'm not gonna give him credit. No.
Give him credit for taking the L like a man.
Son, you're taking the L regardless of if you willfully take it or not. It's yours. Don't tell me after the game you called the wrong play.
The best thing you said after the game, he said, this man had the audacity to say that he said, we were an average team. Now we were a good team. Then we were a great team, but we're not an elite team yet. And that's what this proves. I'm like, bud, you had Ohio State on the ropes 2 years in a row.
Yes.
Don't come out here with an excuse that you weren't talented enough to beat them. That is such horse crap to me.
You punted at the 41 or whatever it was.
Oh my gosh. That drove me nuts. Like, you're a recruiter, man. Like, if you're not talented enough to beat Ohio State after you've been there 5 years, that's on you. Like, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to hang with them. And for him to get up there and say, we're not good enough, you know, we're just not good enough yet. We'll say, no, bud, you've been good enough for 2 years and you blew it because you're not a great coach. You're a great recruiter.
Yeah, they had Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley last year. And they couldn't beat Ohio State.
And they were up like 28 points. It's one thing if you're losing the whole game and you just can't close the gap. But it's another thing when you're drubbing them for three quarters and you blow. I mean, Penn State should be, you know, and I thought Ohio State was going to win. Don't get me wrong. But like watching that game, Penn State was better. I mean, they should have won. They should win. They should have won that game and went on, because Ohio State's the only other good team. They should have ran the table after that. I mean, they should, but again,
what do you think, Trace McSorley?
Honestly, like, I think he's a baller. Like, I don't think he's a great NFL prospect by any stretch of the imagination. And like, ball placement for him is really bad. General accuracy is okay enough that like he can live in the NFL with some of their concepts, but. I mean, he can live in college football with some of their concepts. But, I mean, is he not a blast to watch in college?
Trace McSorley is one of my favorite players in college football to watch. Right, I don't think it's going to translate well enough to the NFL just because Penn State plays such a weird brand with him as their quarterback, because they obviously focus everything around him being able to run and pass. And though McSorley is a cool athlete, like, he gets snapped in half in the NFL if they tried to run anything close to that kind of an offense. So you're taking away half of what he does really well, then you're relying just on his arm. And where we've seen Trace McSorley throw some really, really awesome passes, I think that's because this is a kid who steps up really big in the big moments. And there's a lot of those in college football, because college football is much more of an emotional game. And you can see guys like Trace McSorley, people who really feed off of that, play really well and almost play their best. And so that's why I think he's an awesome college football player. But like in the NFL is not nearly as emotional. Like, you're not riding waves nearly as much in the NFL. You're just relying on your skill most of the time. And most of the time, outside of maybe big moments, McSorley he's not consistent enough for me to think that he's an NFL player. But boy, do I enjoy watching him at Penn State. Yeah. He was tough as nails that Ohio State game.
Yeah,
he deserved to win that game.
He deserved to at least have the ball in his hands and a chance to win the game.
Yeah, James Franklin owes him.
You know, my wife is like a diehard Penn State fan, right?
Oh, is she?
Oh, so she went there. Her dad's whole family, like, they're all diehard Penn State.
My condolences.
She was next to my in-laws next door. She was, because I was watching a bunch of the other games. She went over there to watch it with her dad. They've always kind of watched football together. She went over there and watched the game with them. Got some interesting text messages when that play went down. Then it's like, what was it? Like 11:30 when that game was over?
Yeah.
She comes storming in the house. I was trying to get out of a lot of fire, man. It was the fires of hell were raining down, and they were directed toward James Franklin. And I completely got it, because he blew it on the biggest stage. So,
what'd you think of Haskins? Real quick. What'd you think of Haskins?
I gotta watch. I'm actually watching more of his game this morning. But
all right, I'll give you. Yeah, I'll give you.
I saw enough to know that I definitely have concerns.
This is a big moment for him. Yeah, this is a big. It was a big stage, and I don't think he stepped up as much as we thought he was going to. I thought that his receivers let him down on a couple occasions,
sure.
You know, he even again, it's kind of a step up in big moments thing. And this is his first year as a starter. So like, you gotta think that this is totally normal. But you know, you could just tell he was a little bit late on stuff. He was a little bit slow to throw, to react, to see things, and he had routes where he was thrown behind his guys a little bit, and he just was not the same guy that we saw in the first 4 weeks. Now you could say, oh, well, better competition, that's better. Well, I think it's a combination. It's not that I think that he is like he can't live up to playing against better competition. I just think that it was a really, really big moment. Honestly, his first big moment as a starter on the road in a super hostile environment, that it kind of, you could just tell it kind of mentally rattled him a little bit. And so now we get to see the real Dwayne Haskins as the rest of the year goes on, how he deals with that kinds of pressure, see if it's a trend, see if it's something he got over, grew from, whatever. So that's kind of what I thought of his night.
Yeah. No, I felt the same way. It was a big adverse situation, and he definitely was not the key catalyst in bringing them back and should not be billed as such. But at the same time, there were, you know, he made a couple plays here and there. So I'm going to review the whole tape, and I'll probably tweet out some of my thoughts as well this morning. So as always, we got great shows lined up the rest of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a lot of fun. So as always, thanks so much for listening. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.